Hebrews, with palms before thee wet, our praise and prayers and anthems before thee we present. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children may sweet hosannas ring. Sang their hymns of praise to thee, now high exalted, our melody we raise. All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Thou didst accept their praises, accept the prayers we bring, who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King.
Did we lose you?
We did. All right, we may have lost you on the main computer. Are you able to hear us on my laptop? Someone's going to have to unmute themselves, though, because I can't. Because we've lost the other meeting.
Happening on your end? Question mark.
Well, my Facebook, that's a new one for us. Let's try this again. And we're back. Okay. We had a Wi-Fi problem.
You need to mute some people?
I need to mute me. Let's try. Let's see if that's better. Okay. I don't know how you do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had some technical glitches, it seems, with the Wi-Fi and the service, and so we are trying to see if you can. So right now, I think everybody's unmuted. Just chime in. Do you hear us? Can see us? What's the deal?
He said fine. Standby.
I think we're back.
All right.
But I don't know why we're having that.
We're getting a bad echo now.
Mine is off, so I don't know why we're doing that. Let's try it now. You don't hear anything at all.
All right.
Wait, you're not hearing anything.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. I tap danced for you, but you couldn't see my feet anyway.
Audio, no picture.
You have audio and no picture?
We've got a picture.
Okay.
All I see is only rocks.
Can you hear us or no?
Well.
People are angry.
I turned off our video.
All right. Can you hear us?
All right. Let's.
Everybody mute themselves again.
If everybody would please once again mute yourselves, we will try to continue and hope for the best. All right, I will continue.
Nope.
Oh, it's hard to continue. I'm not sure everybody else can hear that really bad echo and feedback.
I think
all right, let's try again.
We We should be ready for the prayer confession.
We will continue with the prayer.
All right.
All right. So now mute yourself so we can continue. Prayer of confession. Have mercy on us, God of betrayers and deniers. We have run out of tears, weeping for ourselves. So we have none for those most vulnerable in these days. We are tempted to forget those who are around us, who have no one to care for them. We argue about who is the wisest in these days, who is offering the best advice, and never notice those who serve with humility and grace. Yet we pray that you would remember us, God of the Passion, and pour out mercy on us. May we commit our hearts into yours, so we may learn how to love as deeply as you. May we commit our hands into yours, so we may be taught how to serve others with joy. May we commit our spirits into yours, so we may be as trusting as Jesus, the one who was willing to believe the promises you made so long ago.
Amen. We are enabled to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, to forgive one another, and to be forgiven, because Jesus feeds us with his life, a life given to save us from sin. Hear then the good news. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I invite you with people around you or people virtually, through whatever form you're able to do so, offer one another the peace of Christ on a beautiful day such as this. Peace be with you.
Our first reading today is on page 855 in your pew Bibles, if you happen to sneak in this week and grab one. Totally cool if you did. Otherwise, in your own personal Bible at home, please find Matthew chapter 21, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says something to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on an ass and on a colt, the foal of an ass." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the ass and the colt and put their garments on them, and he sat thereon. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city stirred, saying, "Who is this? And the crowd said, "This is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth of Galilee." This ends the first reading.
Thank you, Sue. And you're getting a few folks, you walked away, you weren't seeing them, but a few people doing this and going like that and wanting to bless you. So be blessed. Thank you for sharing your gift of music with us this morning. So as I mentioned before, as we started, that before we do the prayer of preparation and spend time in God's word together, I just had a thought for our young people that I wanted to share with you. So I was out with the family working in the yard. We were, some areas of the yard needed to be cut and some didn't, but it all's got to be done. You can't do half and leave the other half for another day. You got to cut every blade if you're going to cut the grass. And I'm outside working and I'm listening to my favorite, although someone in close to me in proximity right now would argue about a favorite soccer podcast, but listening to my favorite soccer podcast. And I heard something that I wanted to share this morning, and it just sort of stuck with me. So young people, this is for you as we think about it. I know a young lady who's not very close to me physically. She's a distance away from me, a long distance away from me, who I know this has been hard on. The fact that you're not able to walk emotionally arm in arm through the hallway together. You're not able to be together at the lunch table or be together near your classes and share a story and whisper each other's ear and giggle and laugh. And it's discouraging. I don't disagree. And while the introverts of the world say, "Oh, it's great, we're by ourselves and we like that," it's still hard. It's still hard because you want to be there. And quite honestly, it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. And so I'm listening to this podcast. I'm outside push mowing and weed trimming and picking up the sticks. And I'm listening to a particular soccer commentator who is very famous for his use of the English language. He's very colorful, not in a profane way, but just loves to create cliches and loves to share things. And he gets that, he says, from his mother. His name's Ray Hudson. He gets it from his mother, who first taught him that the English language is, as she says, is bendable. You can bend it slightly to make it work the way you want. But here's the point for you this morning. She said, Raymond, one day when he wasn't behaving correctly, which he would have said was a lot in his life, Raymond, it doesn't cost anything to be optimistic. Doesn't cost anything to be optimistic. None of us want this. None of us want to be separated from each other. Young people, you don't want to not walk around the halls together. You don't not want to be with your friends. You don't want to sit at the lunch table and while Google Hangouts and FaceTime and live this and live that are available. It may not be the same thing. And it may feel like a great distance is still between you and those you care about in one form or another. But it doesn't cost anything to be optimistic. And I wonder what that would mean for you as the social isolation has taken hold and we're not together right now. Let's have a word of prayer together as we prepare to spend time in God's Word. Loving God, we thank you today for these, your words of the Scriptures. We thank you for what they mean in our lives, how they speak to us, how they challenge and shape us. Oh Lord God, allow in this time your word, your story, to be our story. Speak to our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. The text I'm reading with you today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Again, if you happen to sneak into the church and grab a pew Bible, it's on page 1023. Or it's on your YouVersion on your phone or on the Bible you use for your devotions or wherever it might be. It is Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and while I know these are familiar words, words you know well, listen to them again and see what God might be saying to you this time. Hear the word of the Lord. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you on this Palm Sunday for these your words. And we ask now that as we stop and consider them, that you speak to our hearts and our minds in a personal new way. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. And the technological fun we're having today just continues to wreak a little havoc. So bear with me for just a moment. So this is the new normal, isn't it, that we are living with in the church. I have spent some time over the past couple of weeks talking with you about finding space or maybe creating space in your day to lament the change that we are working with, as though the body of Christ is facing this new normal, this new thing. But I've also encouraged you to find ways to articulate hope in the midst of the news, this new normal. We're not abandoned by God, I said. We're not forsaken. Even though some in our world believe that we are, this is the new normal of our day. But that wording supports the idea of an unwanted change, doesn't it, for many people? The new normal, not the old normal. The phrase the new normal indicates that what we have is not as desirable as the church as to that which we would want. And so from last week, again, a lament is not only possible, it might just be needed in our lives. When I think about how things have changed in our world and how the change might be long-lasting, I remember my grandfather. Growing up an hour away from my grandparents was a blessing, even if I did not always think that it was. Growing up an hour away from my grandparents, we would spend many holidays together, many occasions to celebrate or just to break bread as a family. My sister and I would spend weekends, weeks at times, up at their house, only an hour away from each other. But as I think about it, and as I consider it, the thing that I remember with Grandpa is how we sat together at the table and we ate. In Grandpa's case, it was how he ate ice cream that I am reminded of this morning as we spend time together thinking about Philippians chapter 2. Every time Grandpa would come to the bowl, I would be worried about two things. One, his vice-like grip reaching under the table and grabbing my knee and making me squirm. And the other thing would be this dish of ice cream that Grandpa would enjoy. He would take the spoon and go around the outside of the bowl, and then he would take the large bite, put it into his mouth, and bring it back out, some of the ice cream still left on the spoon. Now, I remember thinking, Grandpa, if the bite is too big, take smaller bites. What are you doing? But he would continue this process over and over and over again until the bowl was gone. As I watched him do it, I was taught by, I'm not even sure if it was my parents or my grandparents or how we learned, but Grandpa's ice cream has a history. Growing up in the Great Depression time, he would tell me that eating ice cream was a delicacy to him. He would say that they did not have it often, and so when they would have it, Grandpa would spend time savoring every bite, enjoying every bite, taking his time with it, and that's why he ate ice cream the way that he did. You see, he learned that behavior during the Great Depression, like I said, in the 1930s. The story I'm telling you occurred in the 1980s. For 50 years, that was Grandpa's new normal. Take the ice cream, put it in your mouth, bring the spoon back out with some still on it, and repeat, enjoy, indulge, don't rush, and don't let anyone rush you. This was his new normal. You see, sometimes the new normal sticks with us for a long time. Maybe we don't go back to what we knew or how we lived before events like the coronavirus forced us to change. Maybe this is what it is for now. Maybe, just maybe, we don't know what the new normal is going to look like after this moment. It is at times like that that what Jesus does on Palm Sunday for you and for me becomes so crucially important. That's why a passage like Philippians chapter 2 is needed on Palm Sunday. And not just because it affirms who Jesus is in concert with what Ron read for us about who Jesus, what the work he does as he rides into the holy city is. Instead, a passage like this reminds us that in the face of the new normal in our culture, Jesus does something extraordinary that transcends any change or any call for adaptation or any new normal that may be hoisted upon us. And so today we begin with the Christ hymn from Philippians 2. And I want you to notice how it begins in verse 6. Let me read it for you again in the translation that I used this week as I was studying it. It says, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Exploited. When speaking of who Jesus is and what Jesus does in Paul's mind, the apostle creates a new word here that has not been used in the scriptures before. Coming from the root word to seize by force, Paul says that Jesus, while he certainly did understand the heavenly realm where he came from, where he resided, where he was before his incarnation, that he saw as valuable and preferable, Jesus doesn't hold for that. When he, Jesus, being God incarnate, could have and perhaps did desire to be reunified with his Father in heaven, Jesus did not grasp at it. He did not attempt to seize it by force, to steal away the glory so that he would not have to suffer. No, Jesus understood the heavenly reunification with God. It is not a prize to be sought through open conflict or force or subterfuge. He chooses not to exploit it. He very well could have, and might have, if he was us, have changed or exploited his divine position, changed the rules of the equation so that he would not have to suffer, but he did not. He would not. No, Jesus understood what was going on here, what it would mean for us. He very well could have exploited that divine position. The point being, by starting here, is that Jesus does not manipulate. He does not attempt to control the world in order to be with us. He is willing to give all of it up. All the experiences and the blessing and the presence he knew in heaven, he'll push it all aside to be with you this week in the new normal you're living with, whether you wanted it or you didn't. This is truly good news to a people who are working through and trying to adapt to what this looks like in their lives, in their world, their culture, their community, their family. Jesus does not manipulate. He chooses to be with us in the world that we find ourselves in right now, when he could have chosen, through force of any kind, to not. To help us understand further how great the sacrifice of Jesus is, that he does not exploit or grasp at this divinity that he knew, that he will not seize it physically or prevent himself from the events of this week, Paul then creates another new word for us that helps our understanding. First, he created a new word for exploited. Now the word we have here this time is empty. Looking again at the text, Paul says that Jesus gave up all of himself in this act when he did not reach back to heaven to save himself. All of his reputation, if you will, all of his very personhood, all of his divinity, all that defined him as Jesus, that which helps you and I identify him in our lives and in the scriptures as God's Son, as the Son of Man, all of it is emptied from himself by his choice in this moment. Paul even goes so far as to say with this word, he has no content. Jesus has no content here. He is willing to go to that extreme level of sacrifice for us. Every identifiable trait of who Jesus is, of how he defines himself, or how the world could define him, is pushed aside in this moment. And he becomes empty, nothing for us. A God, a Christ, who is so very much in our lives, and that is something that we have testified to before, chooses here in this moment to be a complete and utter empty vessel, so that our sins and the sins of our world can be fully atoned for here. Paul takes this word still even deeper for us to continue the understanding of this word. Jesus almost becomes, if you push the wording a little further, unreal in what he does for us this week. Never has anyone done so much, been so willing to endure to such a great degree, so that they can be with us, with God. Our language and our minds should have a hard time grasping the entire concept of what Jesus is doing, from putting aside his divinity and not exploiting it or manipulating to save himself, and to being this empty for you and me. So that should make us wonder what is happening in Holy Week. A Holy Week that feels very different, with a new normal, a normal that I don't want and you may not want yourselves, the behaviors and the attitudes and the things we must do outside of this place and outside of our homes. We may say, I don't like this, I don't want it. But this week, Jesus as well is coming into that new normal to be with you. He is coming there to be present for us, coming to deal with what we deal with. I don't want to see people with gloved hands when I shop. I don't. Jesus doesn't care. He comes to be with us. I don't want to maintain 6-foot distancing. Jesus comes. He's present. He is here with us. He's empty for us. While things are different outside of this church, well, our Lenten plans have changed dramatically, haven't they? From what we would have imagined way back on Ash Wednesday when we were at Old Union together. I am thankful when I find a passage like this, and you should be as well. To have a Christ who was willing to be this empty in such a way for us. I am thankful to have a Christ who did not exploit his divinity in order to lessen the suffering and sacrifice and potentially tip the scales away from being with us. I wonder, church family, what that understanding of Jesus will mean to you as you, people of Plains, people of the church, continue to wrestle with the new normal, what it looks like outside of this place, outside of these windows, outside of this church. I wonder what it's going to look like for you. And I wonder what Jesus' sacrifice this week will mean for you, how it will shape you and change you. I return you as we end to the very first image I gave you of an old man sitting eating his ice cream at the dinner table. What happened so many years ago changed him for his entire life. And that wasn't even because of Jesus. It was because of his culture, wasn't it? I wonder what the atonement of Jesus will call and challenge you with this week. Let us pray together. Holy God, we are thankful to be with you. We are thankful to spend time with you, to notice you, to be aware of you, to be blessed by you. As each of us begins Holy Week together, Lord, speak to us, encounter us, challenge us, mold us, and shape us. And above all, help us to find a little room this week among that new normal to reflect on what your sacrifice means for us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. As we continue in our worship time this morning, I invite you to grab your bulletin. We're going to be affirming our faith using a new portion of a confession, which is found in the brief statement of faith in our Book of Confessions. I have printed an excerpt in there for you. In the congregation, will you stand as you are able as we confess with one voice across cyberspace what it is we believe? We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. Amen. If you're standing, you may be seated in this time. And if not, as we continue in our worship time, I invite you, as I have before, we'll give you another moment to share any prayer concerns through the chat feature that you have. Again, remembering that if there's something you just want left confidential with the congregation, please note that in your chat so that I can see that and we'll take appropriate steps. And as well, before we do that, God is with us, even if we don't always understand how and why. And so this is the part in our service, as we've done together, when you sat in this room with me and we've worshiped, to consider where have you seen God at work. And so I'm curious for you to find a place in your own lives to notice that, and not just to notice it, but to share. One note that I got this morning as we were preparing for our service and as we were getting the live Facebook ready is God is always at work in unusual circumstances. Personally, my family had a kind of a hairy experience. My extended family, my mother's older brother and his wife, Aunt Elaine and Uncle Alan, were on a cruise ship, actually, when all of this has happened. And Elaine has been putting through Facebook sort of like a daily journal, just where I'm at. She's a nurse, so she's sort of very familiar with what's going on, you know, where we're at, how we're getting through this, what's going on, how we're feeling. And she's had opportunities to complain, maybe, or to be angry and frustrated. But even in the midst of that, she has found space and time. It's been a joy reading her posts, where you can see her beginning to get frustrated. Then she'll say, nah, I've got to remember what's important here. And they've docked. They've made it home safely. They are symptom-free, as everyone on the ship. They are fine. They are safe. And God was with them. They didn't expect it to be that way. But do we ever really expect God to be with us in that way sometimes? As we come to the time to share our joys and concerns, I've asked you to share them through the chat feature, and we do have one that has come in. I'm going to write it down real quick so that I have that on my notes. We have an image that's being shared with you to remember the food pantry up in Evans City. They are doing important work, and at this time, with so many people furloughed and laid off and losing their jobs, they need our support. And so the information is being shared across. You can see the address. If you don't have it, to support them, you can get a hold of the office here at the church. We have it. We can put you in touch with them, but we will pray for the ministry that they are doing. Folks in the congregation, do you have joys and concerns to share?
I have one joy.
Uh-oh.
And I guess it's more of an announcement, but the one joy that I saw this morning was my wife, Kathy, placed a palm branch on our glass storm door. It's something that we saw on Facebook, mm-hmm. an idea.
Yep.
To, if you want to share the joy of Jesus Christ on this Palm Sunday and his triumphant arrival in Jerusalem, place a palm branch. Of course, if you don't have a palm branch, any type of green can be placed on your doorway or in your window. So we encourage you to do that and place that branch in your window or door frame to celebrate the joy of Palm Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you. We received another one that was chatted through on the 3rd of April, if I'm reading the dates correctly. Ernie turned 89 this week, and so we praise God for him. We will lift him to God in prayer today as well. As we do not see any other joys and concerns today, we will, of course, remember those caring for and working with the sick and those affected by the virus. They are doing hard, difficult work. And we will keep...
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
This is Bert.
Yes, Bert.
Oh, I see myself on the thing.
There you are.
This is Stone New.
It's okay.
I just wanted to say that God grants miracles in ways that I didn't know he does, but he wants me to be a partner with him in making these miracles happen. He provides where he takes away, he provides more if we let ourselves partnership with him and not expect him to do it all on his own. And I think that's what Jesus wanted too. So in this time that we're isolated, we have time to reflect on these things and learn from them. So if God gives you lemons, make lemonade.
Absolutely.
I'm blessed to do that. We're blessed to do that. We're happy here and we're getting by and we're able to make lemonade out of lemons. So enjoy the weather. Enjoy the outdoors.
Yes.
It's all good.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing with us this morning, Bert.
I also ask prayers for Linda and Ed. Linda and Ed. God knows who they are.
God does indeed know who they are, and we will lift them to God in prayer in a little bit. We received another concern through the chat feature from Julie asking for prayers for her friend Libby. who has cancer and is facing 8 months of chemo and radiation coming up. And so we will commit her to God in our time of prayer together. If there are no other joys or concerns to share as the congregation, then I invite you as the people of God across cyberspace, if you will, to be the church. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for being present with us in a life we may not have anticipated when Lent began, but a life we could not separate you from. It brings us joy together. It helps us, as we heard, to be partners in the work you are doing that Bert reminded us of. It helps us to find a reason to place a palm branch or some greenery in our window as a show that God is with us. We may have to be distant from each other. We may need to be. But that doesn't mean you are not with us all. And so we thank you for that testimony and that image. We lift Ernie to you this morning. Bless him today as he has celebrated a birthday, 89 years. Watch over him. Watch over Nancy as they continue to seek and serve you as the people of Christ. We pray for the ministry of the Evans City Food Bank. We know that their resources, that their physical and their emotional, and their, all the things that they do, they are stretched to the limit in this time. So bless their work they do. Provide for them as you provided loaves and fishes for so many, that they can help and care for those in our community who need that. We pray for Libby, who faces 8 months of chemo and radiation coming up. We pray that as she faces that, she is aware that she faces it not alone, but faces it with you and with the churches who are praying for her. Be with Libby, those caring for her, those who love her and support her. We pray for Linda and Ed, trusting you to be active at work and present in their lives. And we also lift up those who are involved in the healthcare industry, knowing that the work they are doing is vitally important. Give them encouragement. They do hard work. Give them stamina. It is tiring. And help them to see through the perspective of you with them and what they do. For all of these things, we lift them to you. We trust you to be present there. Now hear us together, Lord, your children, as we offer you the first prayer, which you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn together as we prepare for, as the church, to be the church in Holy Week is in your bulletin. It is number 91, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. Let us worship the Lord together in song.
Palms and sky.
Please bow your heads for the blessing. And I remind you that after our service, we will leave the meeting open for a little bit. Feel free to unmute yourselves, turn on your video if you wish, and visit with the people of the church. We'll leave it on for a little while so you can enjoy some fellowship, even though we have not been able to be together. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Alleluia and amen.